Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Time now for the Basic Fiqh program with Mufti Zubair Bayat. And we welcome Mufti Saab on the program. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
We hope that you are doing well this morning, inshallah, Mufti Saab.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yourself, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah. Tisab, last week we had some interesting discussions with regards to children, and we continue on that. We spoke about Aqiqah, we spoke about the Salah of a child, we spoke about the child coming to the masjid, and then we also spoke about special needs children in terms of their participation in the masjid. What are the guidelines in the Sharia? How are they supposed to participate? Interesting, that was also brought up. And perhaps today we can continue in a similar fashion. We can look at maybe the imamat of a child, and also we can touch on the janaza of a stillborn baby. Some of these things we can also cover, and then move on to zakat in that, Mufti Saab.
Yes, inshallah ta'ala, we will, Mawlana. So basically the series of discussions that we're having is called the Fiqh of Children. And all those masail and rules and regulations relating to children, these are being discussed at the current moment in time, inshallah. Regarding the imamat of a child, can a child lead adults in salah?
Hmm.
So there we have to understand that it will not be permissible for a minor to lead majors or adults in salah, especially the first salah. Because the salah of a minor is nafil. Because salah is not farz on him as yet. So the person who's reading farz salah cannot make iqtida and follow a person who's reading nafil salah. So therefore, the salah or imamat of a minor for farz salah will not be accepted. And together with Far Salah, we can also add the Witr Salah and Sunnah Muakkadah. For example, Salatu Taraweeh is Sunnah Muakkadah. In these type of Salahs, it will not be correct for the adults to follow a child. But if it comes to Nafil Salah, then in Nafil Salah, one may follow a child. Because here now all are reading Nafil, and for the child also it is considered, the Salah is valid, it is considered Nafil Salah. So in the Nafil Salah, a person may make Iqtida of a minor, but not in the first Salah. So that sort of explains the rule or regulation regarding reading a salah behind a child or a child doing imamat. Of course, a child will make imamat of minors if there are lots of children or few children and they're reading their salah together, then they could read it in jamaat. And because they are all minors, so no salah is farz upon them, so even if they're reading their first salah, it will be considered as nafil, and they are all minors, so their imamat for each other will be in order.
Let's move on to the janaza of a stillborn baby, Mufti Saab.
As far as janaza for a stillborn child is concerned, then we must first of all remember one principle and rule here. And the principle and rule is that janaza salah is related to the situation, condition of a person, in the sense that it is only performed for the people who are alive. Janaza salah is only performed for one who lived, one who was alive. For such a person, janaza salah is performed. So if we keep this rule in front of us, and we see now, the baby is still born, then there will be no Salatul Janaza, because it emerged into this world lifeless. So there's no Salatul Janaza for such a child. But if the baby was born, and even if it lived for a few seconds, and then it passed on, then there will be Salatul Janaza for such a child. Because the rule is, if Salatul Janaza is for those who passed away, that is, they lived and they passed away.
Mm.
And those who had not even lived at all, for them there will be no Salatul Janaza. So if we keep this one principle in mind, then we will be able to easily understand that in which instance Janaza Salah is performed and when it is not performed.
Mm.
And obviously when the Janaza Salah is performed, then it would also entail, you know, giving ghusl and putting on a kafan, and then reading the Salatul Janaza, and then the burial. So it means that all, whatever is applicable to adults, will also be applicable to this baby, who lived even for a few seconds and passed away,
mm-hmm.
because it had witnessed life and then it passed away. As far as the other children are concerned, who passed away without, without coming alive into this world, then obviously in their case, if it is a fully formed child, etc., then you will, put there will be no Salatul Janaza, but the child will be washed and wrapped. And if it is just a fetus itself and there's no formation, etc., then it will be just wrapped in a cloth and buried. There will be no ghusl, etc.
In terms of naming the child, Mufti Sahab, is that required for a baby that survives?
No, once the child has been born, then you should name the child as well.
Acha, mashallah. Okay, Mufti Sahab.
Now, let us say one additional thing that comes up here. If somebody didn't know the masala and they buried this child without Salatul Janaza, so the rule here is, like it applies to all adults too, that within 3 days, the Janaza Salah may be performed over their graves.
Achcha.
But after that time, there is no Salah. There's no Janaza Salah after that, because the process of decomposition sets in. So there'll be no Salatul Janaza after 3 days. And then there will be no Kafara or anything. There's only Tawbah for having omitted a rule and a hukam and order of Sharia. For that there will be a kafara. I mean a tawbah and istighfar.
Acha. Okay, Mufti Sahab, wonderful. Now, in terms of money, Mufti Sahab, alhamdulillah, sometimes minor children also have a lot of money. What about zakat?
Yes, that's a very important part as well, Maulana. Some children, mashallah, they're born wealthy because they were, you know, already like amounts that were stipulated for them, that upon the birth of so and so child, this amount will be given to such and such a child. So, nevertheless, as far as children are concerned, it is not compulsory to pay zakat on the wealth of a minor. This is according to the Hanafis. The other schools of fiqh, they say that zakat is payable on the wealth of a minor. But when it comes to the Hanafi school, there's no zakat payable on the wealth of a minor, no matter how much of wealth a minor may have. There is no zakat payable on the wealth of a minor.
MashaAllah. Even though the mother is keeping possession of the money, Mufti Sahab, or the father?
Yes, even though the mother keeps the possession and they are the guardians, their father and mother, or either one of them, are considered as the trustees or the guardians of the wealth of the minor, and they are very responsible and accountable for that, that they are not to, be negligent with regard to the wealth of that minor, to ensure that they, safeguard it and keep it in safe custody at all times, and they do not, use it for their personal needs, etc. because we find that generally there can be a bit of negligence on the side of parents when it comes to these things.
Mm.
And also, when it comes to the issue of mixing up things between children, this is also not correct. Each child has his own, what belongs to him or her. So you cannot mix up the wealth of children and say, okay, you know, this jacket was given or this clothing was given to this child here. Now we take this and we give it to the smaller child without compensating the older child.
Mm.
So, you know, sometimes we tend to take this a little bit, and be a bit negligent in these things, but we have to be conscious that when something was given to the child, then the parents are the wakils and the guardians, and they have accepted it on behalf of the child, so it belongs to the child. So sometimes, you know, even a pram is given as a gift to a child. That today, Maulana, prams, the prices of prams.
Gee, ajeeb.
You know, it's not like the good old days where it hardly cost much. Today, a pram can be, you know, almost the price of a second-hand car. Depending on the brand and the type of pram and all of that, you know.
Mm.
But this is how it is. So these type of things we have to be conscious of. That if something was given specifically to the child, whether it's clothing or whether it is, yes, if it was given to the parents, that they are the owners, then they can use it for all the children as they wish. So these are some things that we have to be very conscious of. There's no zakat payable on the wealth of a child till the child reaches the age of puberty. When the child reaches the age of bulugh, the parents should write down, and the child should also note that date and time down. So according to that now, that would be, if the child had already acquired nisab by that date, then from that date onwards, that will be regarded as a zakatable zakat calculation date for that child. And year after year, that person will now use that as their date. And we're talking of the Islamic date here to calculate the zakat and to pay the zakat year for year. This also we find that there is generally a state of negligence here. People don't track the financial situation, and they don't exactly know when they become sahib and nisab. And then they now don't exactly know which date to calculate their zakat. So, okay, if a person was not really aware of these things and did not take note, then you can fix one day in the year after that and stick with that when it comes to, calculating the amount of zakat to be paid and how to disperse of that zakat and how to, work out the zakat for that year. It has to be on a fixed day of the year. If we just leave it loose and say, this year I'll give zakat in Muharram, next year I'll give in Safar, and the following year I'll give in Rabiul Awwal, that is not allowed. You cannot do that. Because then there will be a lot of miscalculations, and there may be short payments of zakat, and this is obviously not allowed.
Mm. No.
And together with that also, Maulana, when it comes, we just spoke a little bit about it, and I think maybe I should just add this one or two points, that sometimes the parents, they're not very financially well off.
Mm.
The children have their own money. Now, can they use some of that money on their children, for their children's needs? So the answer to that is yes, they may use it, but as long as they are using it, you know, cautiously as a guardian, and they're not just, spending lavishly from that on things which are not really a need for that, for the child's benefit.
Achoo.
So these are those guidelines that have to be borne in mind. In fact, a sensible thing for the parents to do would be to take that and invest it in a suitable investment, so that the money, is safeguarded, and it also increases and it's not sort of depleted with inflation, because your 100 rands, you know, 10 years ago, today it's worth like maybe 10 rand more.
Ajib,
because it, inflation just erodes it, you know. And so if it is invested in something, then it will not be eroded by inflation. For example, a suitable thing or something that could be considered is gold coins. Now, if you take that and you invest it in a gold coin, or in gold coins, and that is kept away because there's no zakat even on children, so it's there, and there's no temptation even to use it or spend it, and it stays there in that condition. And then when they become of age, now obviously they start paying zakat after then. But in the meantime, over the years, that has been protected, that investment, because price of gold generally is appreciating all the time. And what you could buy with one gold coin 50 years ago, today you can buy exactly the same thing with a coin of gold. So gold has retained its value, but money has lost its value, or it loses its value over time. So these are some factors that one should take into consideration when it comes to the aspect of finance and the financial situation of the children.
So what about the case of an orphan child? Maybe sometimes it's a niece or a nephew.
There's great reward and thawab to take care of an orphan child. And when it comes, if they have their own wealth, the guardians, it is allowed for them to use it on them for their needs. But here again, extreme caution must be exercised, because now this is a wealth of a yatim. And if you usurp the wealth of a yatim, or you abuse the wealth of a yatim, the punishment is very severe in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. So in this ayat we can see that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا, those who consume the wealth of orphans in oppression, that is, they usurp and they squander and they abuse the wealth of the orphan children, then they are filling their stomachs with fire. So one must be extremely careful when it comes to orphans, that rather you spend from your own pocket and take the sawab and avoid spending their own money on them. But if need be, and a person doesn't have, then as per necessity, a person may use the wealth of those orphan children and spend on them as their guardian.
MashaAllah. Moving on further, Mufti Saab, we also understand at times parents do take their children along for Hajj. Is it necessary? Is Hajj binding upon the children? What is the fiqhi ruling there, Mufti Saab?
Yes, Maulana, as far as the subject, well, now we are already, alhamdulillah, in the season of Hajj, and mashallah, as we are speaking here, already people are on the airport and they are probably, you know, checked in already, or they're in the check-in queue. And, you know, or maybe they're already boarding their flights, and people are departing one way now for Hajj Baytullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of the Hujjaj Hajj Maqbool and Mabroor, make it easy for them, the entire journey and stay, going and coming, and guide them at every step of this journey of Hajj. Now, the subject matter of Hajj for children comes up. So first of all, Hajj is not farz upon children. So until they don't reach the age of puberty, if they did a Hajj, the Hajj will be counted as nafil, and it will not count towards a farz Hajj. So therefore, when they reach the age of puberty, they will have to do a Hajj again. But in the meantime, the Hajj that they perform, the sawab, the reward of that will go to their parents, inshallah, because the minor does not, there's no accountability for a minor, so what good deeds they do, inshallah, those good deeds accrue to the account of the parents.
Acha, mashallah, very interesting.
So, now whether one should take children for Hajj or not, that is a circumstantial thing. Sometimes there's nobody to take care of the children, nobody to look after the children. Each person has got their own circumstance. Case to case one can decide. But if it's going to become difficult to look after the children in the journey of Hajj, then, and it's going to become a distraction from ibadah, etc., then it is not advisable. In any case now, the rules have become so strict from the Ministry of Hajj and the Hajj operators, etc., that now you can hardly take children for Hajj. You have to be a certain age. But there are children, for example, in the kingdom, Saudi Arabia itself, people who live in Makkah or around there, they may be taking their children with them because there's no guardian for the children, etc. So these rules apply still in that case. But generally nowadays, around the world, you know, the Hajj authorities, the Ministry of Hajj, and all the, Hajj agencies in the different countries of the world, the Hajj councils like SAHOK, etc., they are given strict guidelines not to issue or to approve any children for Hajj visas. And obviously, the space is limited, and Hajj is for adults, so therefore, the children are not permitted to go for Hajj from these countries. But as I mentioned, that around there, the locals, there could be situations where they do take their children along with them for Hajj. So the rule that we're speaking about is applicable there.
Okay, so what about another possibility? You're not talking about children who are minor, but what about a mother that's maybe in her third trimester and she's pregnant, she wants to go for Hajj, and the authorities are not aware of it, only herself and her husband are aware, or the family, and this is not disclosed to anyone. On one side you have the flight regulations, and on the other side you have the Hajj regulations. In the middle, the lady is taking a decision to go for Hajj in a position like that. What is the ruling there, Mufti Saab?
Well, Maulana, if she is able to go and do her Hajj, and there's no danger that's posed to her or the unborn child, then she may go.
Acha.
Yeah, because it's her choice. If she feels that she's not going to be able to manage, or it would endanger her well-being or the well-being of the unborn child, then she should defer it to a later time.
MashaAllah. We had a case where one South African couple, alhamdulillah, gave birth to twins, Arafat and Mina, in the Hajj season.
Subhanallah.
MashaAllah.
Ajib. Yes, this is now Allah's will. And twins,
MashaAllah. Ji.
Not just one child. I thought they would have called him Safa Marwa.
MashaAllah. So from a Shari perspective, there isn't any harm, Mufti Saab?
From a Shari perspective, there's no harm, as long as he's not, they're not, endangering themselves in any way, and they are able to manage. And if Allah wills the children to be born there, so that is Allah's will, that the place of birth is also written where they will be born. And if she was able to do the Hajj nicely and without difficulty and come back after the Hajj and gives birth, there's no restriction from a Sharia point of view as far as such a lady doing the Hajj.
MashaAllah, very interesting with this up.
Then, Maulana, maybe we also look at when if a child is taken for Hajj now, is there ihram to be put on for such a child?
Mm.
So we'll see, although it is not farz upon the child, but that ibadat of Hajj will be regarded as valid. Therefore, all the aspects of Hajj that are applicable to adults will also apply to the child. For example, Salah is not farz upon a child. But if a child is going to read Salah, then all the aspects of Salah that are applicable to adults will be applicable to the child. You have to make takbir at-tahreema, niyat, and read Surah Fatiha and Surah, and do ruku and sajda, and all of that. So, just like an adult will read two rakats of Salah like that, the child will also be required to read that two rakats of Salah. When a child fasts, then also they will keep the full fast with all the rules and regulations in place. So when it comes to the Hajj, they will also do the Hajj. So therefore, the child will wear ihram. And they must try and abstain from all those things that are prohibited in ihram. But if they do violate any of the muharramat, any of the things that are not allowed for a child, in the state of ihram, then there will be no kafara or dam on a child. And they will do everything except if, for example, like the rami of the jamarat, if it's difficult or dangerous for a child to go there, then they could somebody could be appointed as a what we could call a proxy on behalf of their child to go and do the rami of the jamarat. So in this manner the child's hajj will also be completed, and as I mentioned earlier on, the reward of it will go to the parents. But the child would have completed the rites of hajj, like how an adult will do the rites of Hajj. Like this, the little child will also carry out the rites of Hajj, wearing ihram and coming out of ihram and all of that included in it.
Acha, mashallah. And in terms of the slaughter, will the child also have to slaughter, Mufti Saab, even though he's a minor?
It will be advisable to do the dam also, but as I said, there's no dam applicable on this child like adults. So that dam e shukriya, etc., will not be applicable, nor will udhiya, qurbani animal, be applicable on the child. But if the parents have the means and they can, then it will be appropriate to do so. But otherwise, there's no penalties applicable to the child of any sort.
Acha, mashallah, Mufti Saab. We've got about 30 seconds left before we close off, Mufti Saab. Perhaps you want to give some general advice before we close off here, Mufti Saab?
Gee, Maulana, in fact, I think, inshallah, we will discuss also a little bit about the rules of fasting for children, because we've discussed the ibadat of salah. We've discussed this ibadat of zakat, we've discussed the ibadat of hajj, but just a short discussion we'll follow up next week, inshallah, with regards to fasting and children.
Mm-hmm.
So we can round this kind of discussion off with that kind of covering of the all the aspects of ibadat as far as children are concerned, as part and parcel of our broader discussion of the fiqh of children, inshallah.
Mashallah. Children are feeling happy when they get to hear about these programs, inshallah, from their parents. Tisab jazakallah khairan and much appreciated. We hope to speak to you again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.